For this series of podcasts, we created a bank of 250 flying-related questions, some serious, some not so much. We then put them into a random question generator and asked pilots to give us their answers. The results are often thought-provoking, hilarious, or even reassuring. This week's guest is...
So my name's Ollie, I'm 26 years old, I fly hang gliders and I also run an air experience school in Northampton for hang gliding. I've been flying for about, how long is it now? 5 years or so. Started competitions about 3 years ago. I'm fortunate enough now that I've made the British team. So looking forward to 2016. I'm actually off to Slovenia in a couple of days' time to fly the Tolmin area, which I'm pretty looking forward to. But other than that, I just pretty much eat, sleep and breathe flying, really, any sort of types. My dad always flew hang gliders when I was growing up, and it always took me flying. He was one of the development pilots for a quite a well-known microlite company, and I was always backseat ballast, the only other person that was nearly as tall as him, so that I could make some sort of difference in the back.
We sent you 10 questions, and your first one is, did you ever try any DIY flying when you were a kid?
Not quite DIY flying myself. I did a lot of remote control plane flying, which was quite fun. And a lot of that was trial and error. I broke a lot of remote control planes, much to my dad's disgrace. But yeah, I think that's probably the most amount of DIY flying I did, other than the usual opening your coat at school and trying to jump into wind. Always had my sights set on hang gliding from a very early age, and fortunately enough, managed to sort that out when I turned 20.
So tell us about a flight that still makes you smile.
Well, I thought about this one for a little while, actually. It changes every year, and it's usually my last flight. It always ends up sitting so vividly in your memory. But I think my favourite one, last year, me and Gordon Rigg, we set British declared distance record for 218 kilometres, and we flew from the Peak District, which is an awesome time. It's actually my first cross-country from the Peak District, and we flew into Suffolk, and it started off quite early in the morning, about 11 o'clock or so, and really it was very top-end, really, even for hang gliders, and it was, the whole Peak District was like a boiling kettle. No matter really where you went, you were going to end up at cloud base. But the first hour was quite hard, and after that it just got turned super. There was just 600-700 feet per minute climbs everywhere. We managed to get into Cambridge, and we got to 6,000 foot cloud bases, and it was just one of those picture-perfect days that you just climb and glide and forget about everything else, and then landing with the realisation that we'd finally done it on a very optimistic forecast. We thought we might as well try it. But I think that's the one when I think about hang gliding and I explain it to people, that's the one that sticks in my head.
How have you changed as a pilot over the years?
I think I was very conservative when I first started, which I think was probably a good thing, but it didn't excel me quite quickly, but I'm quite glad of it. When I first started hang gliding, and my dad eventually did my first hill conversion, I only ever went to coastal sites, and I did that for a couple of years, really. I never really went inland, but I kind of look back on it now and I'm quite glad of it. And then I eventually became a hang gliding instructor, and I did my first XCs in 2013 and stuff like that, and it all sort of evolved from there, really. Having flown competitions with other people, I think more so now I believe in myself a little bit more. I always flew with the idea of I'll follow that person, he always knows better, or I'll do that because that person's going over there. And not in a way that I think I know more than somebody else, but I've learned to sort of more believe in your first instinct, because a lot of the times that first instinct that you feel is correct, and being indecisive in flying I don't think gets you very far. So I think that's probably my most certain thing, is more just believing in those first instincts and believing in what you know.
What's the most ridiculous thing a non-flyer has ever said to you about hang gliding or paragliding?
I think the usual one that most people get asked is that dangerous? that's quite a common one that we get asked when hang gliding. And the other one, I think, is looking at paragliding, I think people can quite easily see the harness and the lines that attach them to the paraglider. But when people look at hang gliding, they always ask, how do you hold on for that long without anything holding you up? And that one is one that always makes me giggle. I think they think... You're led down doing a push-up for a couple of hours. That was always the funniest one for me.
What's it like to be in a cloud?
I quite like it, actually. I feel it quite homely. A lot of the times you find yourself at 4,000 or 5,000 feet, and you, get that small sort of bit of vertigo, realizing quite how you are. But eventually, when you do go into the white room, everything seems really close. And it's, that's the only way I can really explain it. You kind of expect it to be fluffy and wet to the feel of your face, but I don't know. I've never really felt that. More just the homely feel of not knowing quite how high up you are. Until you pop out the side of it, that is, and then you get the all of a sudden vertigo. Not that I ever cloud fly, that is. This is my talking from an imagination point of view.
That's what your dad tells you.
Yeah, sat in the corner nodding.
What's your top tip for an accurate landing?
Top tip for an accurate landing. I think I have to do the BHPA advice thing, being that I'm a training instructor and always use a constant aspect approach, is something that we teach quite a lot in hang gliding, because you get quite a few accidents of people trying to S height off and all that sort of stuff. So that's definitely my top tip as of such. But yeah, constant aspect approach is always the best. It's one of the most common known things that if you have an airfield and you put a tree in the middle of it, 50% of your arrivals at the airfield, they end up hitting the tree. So if ever I want to do a spot landing, I always keep the spot in my mind of what it is and imagine it to be like a car or an object and keep checking at it, keep looking at it, and 9 times out of 10 you'll always end up where you're looking. So for me, that's what I always try and think of.
What's the secret of your flying success?
I'm not sure if I've been successful. I think I've always just tried to have quite a positive mental attitude, and just trying to, as I said for the previous question of how I think I've changed, I think it's just more believing in what I know and believing myself and believing that I can do it, really.
What's been your max altitude?
It would have been this year. We flew the British Nationals in Spain, and I probably spent too long in this climb, but again, I was just thinking of a max altitude thing, and we were flying with some big golden eagles and lapper guys and stuff like that. I think it was about 10,200 feet QNH. I just wanted to beat the five-digit mark. So it was about, yeah, I think 10,200 QNH.
What are the top three weather forecast resources that you use?
From afar, I always use things like XE Weather and BBC News and other things like that. But that's really just for a look at from a distance of what the weather could be doing. And then I use the usual one in the UK for RASP, the Regional Atmospheric Soaring Prediction, to have a bit of a closer look. I think the Windy TY website is quite a good overall outlook to see what's happening. It gives you a good view of pressures and fronts and stuff like that. So I don't try and get too in-depth with looking at forecasts, more just trying to get out as many days as possible. I try to find the forecast that says I can go flying rather than the other way around. So if four of them will say it's not flyable, I'll find the one that says it is. And then I can hedge all my bets on that one.
Have you ever flown at night?
No, I really want to. No. Not that I should be. My mum in the background just said no. I'd like to. I think flying a hang glider at night is a slightly bit of a different game in comparison to paragliding. I've not done any other powered flying at night neither, but definitely under a full moon I'd like to do some flying. It does look pretty rad.
Thank you very much.
For more paragliding and hang gliding related podcasts, please visit the podcast page of www.theparaglider.com. And if you enjoyed this podcast or any of our many previous podcasts, webcasts or articles, please consider making a donation to The Paraglider. You can find the donate button on any of the podcast pages of the site or on the homepage at www.theparaglider.com. Many thanks.